Hey there, welcome to the Dressage with Amelia podcast, where it's all about breaking things down and helping you learn to love your ride. I'm your host, Amelia Newcomb. These sessions are recordings from my Facebook Live, where I answer as many questions as I can from my audience. I hope you enjoy this episode where I answer your questions about dressage. Please help me out and share this with a friend who also rides horses. Hello everyone, happy Thursday. Tonight we are talking about the aids. If you haven't had a chance yet to watch this week's YouTube video, check it out. It is all about how to give your horse clear and effective aids. I think it's a great topic. And sometimes what happens is that when we're training and when we're like trying really hard to be type A, we forget to give our horse clear and effective aids. And I think riding is complicated. Sometimes our horse doesn't understand or they're not physically able to do what we're asking them to do. So it's really important always to consider the aids that you're giving and really make sure that your aids are clear. So hi, Tanya. Hi, Jocelyn. Good to see you all tonight. So basically what the YouTube video this week covers is an acronym that I say R. So it's A-R-R-R. So like R, like a pirate. And what that acronym stands for is aid, reaction, release, and repeat. So that is the basic premise of how we train our horses. We give an aid, we get a reaction, we release the aid, and we repeat. And often if you're having trouble, like if your horse is confused, if they're not doing what you want, you have to go back and consider, are you giving a clear aid? So that means that you aren't giving conflicting aids and that you're really clear when you give the aid about the reaction that you want. Then second thing is you always have to make sure to actually get that reaction. So it's give an aid, get a reaction, release the aid. That's super important. The release and the reward of your horse is extremely important. And once again, I think that sometimes we forget to actually release the aid. We end up just like holding our leg on or holding too much pressure in our hand. And then repeat. Horses learn through repetition. So it's give an aid, get a reaction, release the aid, repeat. And when you're going through your ride, if you start having trouble and you're stuck and you're getting frustrated and your horse is getting frustrated, then what you can do is you can say R, A-R-R-R, and you can let out some of your frustration and then remember to go back to that sequence where you think about really giving that clear aid to get the correct reaction. And sometimes what I see happen, and I saw this last night during office hours for my groundwork course, is you give an aid and your horse doesn't respond right away. And then you start to doubt yourself, like, oh, maybe I'm not giving the aid good enough. And then when you start doubting yourself, you weaken and you don't get the reaction. And so then what happens is because you're doubting yourself, and you've given the aid, but you didn't follow through and get the reaction, then you've taught your horse not to react to the aid. So I see that happen a lot. I saw it last night in my groundwork masterclass with someone trying to get her horse out of her space. I see it sometimes with a canter aid, like you're riding along and you ask your horse for canter and your horse doesn't canter. And instead of, you know, being strong and saying, come on, I want you to canter, I just gave the aid for canter, then people doubt themselves and they say, oh, well, you know, I didn't ask right. I didn't ask the same way my trainer asked. So it's always important that when you give an aid, that you make sure your aid is clear, that you have confidence in your aid, and then that you stick to it and follow through until you get the reaction that you want. Then once you get the reaction that you want, it's super important that you immediately reward your horse and take the pressure off, because the truth of the matter is that horses, they want to be good and they want to do the right thing. But if you don't take the pressure off and if you don't reward them and tell them that they're good, then they don't know. So I just think it's always important to go back to that idea whenever you're having trouble and make things more simple. Sometimes when we're trying to do something too complicated and we're giving too many aids all at once, that's when our horses start to shut down and start to get confused. So it never hurts to, you know, go back to a more simple exercise like walk trot transitions or trot walk transitions or leg yields. Those are always good exercises to go back to. So there were a few questions in the Facebook group, and I really loved this question from Janice about the aids. I thought it was really good. So she says, every aid seems to be inside leg at the girth and outside leg just behind the girth. I certainly get confused. So I think that is very true because we hear it all the time in dressage, like the secret to riding is inside leg to outside rein. And a lot of the movements, like for example, leg yield, shoulder in, haunches in, circles, turns, involve inside leg and outside rein. So I guess the answer to Janice's question is that the amount of each, how much pressure with your leg, how much pressure with your outside rein, the timing of it, that is what gets the result. So for example, if you're riding a leg yield, right, and you put your inside leg on to move your horse over, that's the primary aid for a leg yield. But then if you feel like your horse is falling too much with that through the outside shoulder, you might have to take a little more outside rein and do a little less inside leg for a moment. If we think about shoulder in and haunches in, the aids for both shoulder in and haunches in are inside leg at the girth and outside leg behind the girth. However, in shoulder in, your inside leg is the primary aid. So your inside leg is the more active leg aid, and your outside leg is more active in haunches in. So shoulder in, you're using more inside leg, haunches in, you're using more outside leg. But again, you know, kind of what's fun about dressage and what's hard, I guess, about riding is when you first start, it's basically like legs mean go, reins mean stop. Like that's the first thing that you teach your horses. But then as things get more complicated, you start to use the aids diagonally, like inside leg to outside rein. You use the aids in quicker succession. You don't really ever want to be doing leg and hand at the same time because that's like driving your car with the gas and the brakes. But you do, as you evolve and as you become a better rider, you start to get quicker about the timing of your aids and understanding how to balance your aids, like when you need more leg, when you need more rein, and then based on what you feel, adjusting your aids. And I think that is really the trick to having good aids, is that you have to feel the result and then adjust your aids accordingly. So for example, like if you put your leg on and your horse like lurches forward and goes super fast, you have to feel that and then assess and then say, okay, maybe next time I don't use so much leg. If you put your leg on and your horse feels sticky and they don't really react, then you need to use more aid. In general, when you use your leg aid, you always want to start with your calf. So start with like a really soft pressure, give that one Mississippi and then increase. So it's usually calf, then heel, then a kick or a spur, and then your whip. That's kind of usually the sequence of aids. But remember, when we're talking about aids, our goal is to have light and invisible aids. So you always want to start with the softest aid possible, because if you start right away with like a big kick or a tap, then you're training your horse to respond to a bigger aid, which is not really what you want. I apologize. It was so windy today at the barn. Like it's definitely feeling like spring, but I was outside in the wind all day and I have so much dust in my eyes and everywhere. So It was, I'm definitely enjoying the time change. Let me know if you're watching here live, if you are enjoying the fact that it is still sunny out at 6 p.m. here in California. I definitely feel like spring is coming. I'm going to be at a horse show next weekend. I'm taking Luigi and Kensington, so that will be very fun. Okay, a couple more questions. Next question is from Diana. She says, I need clarity on upper leg versus lower leg aches. Okay, that is a good question. So your upper leg, meaning like your knee above, your upper leg can be useful for a turning aid. So a lot of times if I want to turn, I'll use my outside upper leg just a little bit to help support and turn the outside shoulder. Your upper leg is also primarily important to support your seat. So like your upper leg really helps to keep your seat connected. That's like the most important thing. You don't give a ton of leg aids from your upper leg besides just a little bit controlling the outside shoulder. And then your lower leg aids are the driving aids. So your lower leg aids are what get your horse going forward, get your horse moving to one side or the other. Like I mentioned with your lower leg aids, ideally it's your calf. Like your calf always starts and your calf is the invisible and soft aid that you want to start with. So hopefully that helps you, Diana, with your clarity of leg aids. Netta says, what are the aids for counterbend? Okay, that's a good question. So if you're going along on the circle and you want to counter flex your horse a little bit, that can be a useful exercise if you feel like your horse is like drifting too much to the outside. And anytime that you change the bend in your horse, or really anytime that you are riding in general, the sequence of your aids is always leg and then hand. You never want to start just right away with your hand. So if I'm going on the circle, my horse is bending left, I want to counter bend slightly. I start by pushing with my right leg to kind of dimple the horse's rib cage on the right. Because remember that bend is about the whole body. It's not just about the neck. So I start by pushing a little in with my right leg, counterflexing a little bit, and then a little bit outside rein, like fingers, because that will help with the flexion. So it's leg and then a little bit fingers on the outside rein. And again, how much depends, right? If your horse is really resisting your outside leg, you're going to have to be a little bit strong with your outside leg and then supple with that outside rein at the same time. So that's another good question. Okay, next question is from Kelly. This is another great question. So when we're told to add leg, is it always a bump in the proper timing? Or sometimes is it a steady aid? Also, what is the difference between a lengthening aid and one for a quicker tempo? Okay, those are great questions. And again, I think as you become more sophisticated and as your horse becomes more sophisticated, you start to understand that there's different types of leg aids and there's different variations. So when someone tells you to add leg or when you want your horse to go more forward, you always start by closing your calf because closing your calf is an invisible aid. Like someone can't really see it. So it's a nice subtle aid that we want to teach our horses to respond to our calf. Then if they don't listen to the calf, then you would bump. So it's calf, one Mississippi, bump, 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 if your horse is just not listening. Because if you're just squeezing your horse all the time, then your horse is going to ignore that. They're going to think that your leg is simply a part of the saddle and they're not going to listen to it. So it's always calf and then bump, bump. What is the difference between a lengthening aid and one for a quick tempo? Good question. So for a lengthening, a trot or a canter lengthening, ideally we want the strides to get longer, but not faster. And so if you want the strides to get longer, it would be more of a press in the tempo of the gait. So whether it's the trot or the canter, it would be like squeeze. If you want the tempo to get quicker, then your leg aid has to be quicker than the tempo of the gait. So if you're going along and you're cantering and your horse is going like canter, 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 and you're like, ah, this is kind of a slow canter, what you want to do with your leg is go bump, 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 bump. So you almost would want to kick your horse twice in one stride to get them quicker. So hopefully that adds some clarity there. But again, every horse is a little bit different. So you have to a little bit play around with what works best for your horse. Okay. Let's see. Questions here. How do you switch legs for the flying change? The timing of it? That's a good question. So you always want to aid for the flying change on the upbeat. So like when the mane is flying up, so it would be like canter, 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 change. And you change your legs simultaneously. So it's inside leg at the girth, outside leg behind the girth, and those legs slide to make the flying change. Carolina, do you have any tips on keeping your heels down in posting trot? I would say, Carolina, make sure for posting trot that you have the correct alignment. So ear, shoulder, hip, heel, that is super important, because if you're tipping forward, that's going to cause your heels to go up. Make sure you have the correct alignment. Okay, next question. Can you talk about the aids in counter canter when you're going on the long side and turning on the short side? Good question. So for counter canter, your aids are basically the same as the aid for whichever canter lead you're on. For example, if you're on left lead canter and you ask for left lead canter, that means that your outside leg, which is your right leg, goes behind the girth and your left leg stays at the girth, and you have slightly more weight on your inside seat bone, which is your left seat bone. When you're doing counter canter, it's the same. So it's still left leg at the girth, right leg behind the girth for counter canter. And even though you're like inside and outside always stays relative to the lead you're on. So in counter canter, you always have inside leg at the girth, outside leg behind the girth, because you're still in left lead canter. I hope that makes sense. But it's really important that when you go into counter canter and you're on left lead, so you're on left lead, but you're going right, your legs are still in position for left lead canter, which means left leg at the girth, right leg behind the girth, and slightly more weight on your inside seat bone. And then ideally for counter canter, you want to try to make your horse as straight as possible in the outside rein. So you, a lot of times, you know, with a young horse that's kind of out of balance, in the counter canter, we tend to overbend them just to try to keep the lead. But ideally, you want to get your horse so balanced in the counter canter that it feels the same as a true canter. Okay, next question. What do you say to someone who's working on corrections to multiple position issues? Stiff elbows, ineffective legs, leg swinging, getting frustrated with my riding in general. Oh, I'm sorry you had a tough day. I think we've all been there for sure. We all have days where it's just like, I don't know why we even do this. It is definitely hard. It's really hard to get your body coordinated with your horse's body while they're moving. So a couple of things when we're talking about rider position is always start with your seat. Like, your seat and feeling the rhythm of your horse and following the rhythm of your horse, that's like the primary thing that you always want to start with. And then kind of work out from there. Because if your seat isn't correct, then it's going to cause all kinds of problems in your legs and your arms. So focus on your seat, focus on, you know, really connecting to your horse's back, feeling the rhythm in your seat, using your core, keeping your core tight, that will help you. And then as far as your legs swinging too much in posting trot. For posting trot, again, think about your alignment. Make sure you have ear, shoulder, hip, heel. Make sure your horse is in front of the leg. Maybe do some trot, walk, trot transitions to really get your horse going, because sometimes if your legs are swinging, it could be because your horse isn't going forward enough. And so you feel like you're kind of always having to, you know, nag your horse and urge your horse on. So hopefully that helps you to feel more encouraged. Tomorrow's another day. One thing that I find too, when I get a little discouraged, is I always go back and I think about the fact that I just love my horses and I love to ride. And we all have days that we wish we were doing better. We wish we were riding better. We wish our horses were going better. We wish we had better aids or a better position. But it's also important to remember that, you know, we love the sensation of riding. We love our horses. I don't know. You can let me know in the chat why you have a horse, why you ride. For me, I love spending time with them. I love the partnership. I love the continuity of seeing them every day and riding every day. And so it's always important to go back to that on the days that you're maybe feeling a little discouraged or that things aren't going fast enough. Okay. Let's see. I had a few other notes. Oh yeah. There was a question about behind the leg. So like, what is behind the leg? I actually have a YouTube video coming up in the next couple months about behind the leg. But basically, when your horse is behind the leg, it means that when you take your leg off, they slow down. So when we're riding, you should be able to push your heels down and your horse should stay going at the same speed. So behind the leg means that your horse wants to slow down, or it can also mean that when you put your leg on, that your horse doesn't go forward. So how do we get our horses in front of the leg if they're behind the leg? Lots of transitions, lots and lots and lots of transitions. You want your horse to be, I say it's like cruise control, where they just will go at the speed you set them at, like your car, right? You're going on the freeway, you set your car at 60 miles per hour. Your car stays going 60 miles per hour until you hit the brakes or the gas. That's how we want our horses to operate. And when they're in front of the leg, they stay at that speed. And if you touch the gas pedal, they go immediately faster. Okay. There was another question about closing the rein. So what does it mean when someone says to like close the rein? What I think of if I'm riding along and my trainer says, you know, close the outside rein, is it's just kind of making that fist with your wrist. You don't want to pull back, but you just want to kind of make the fist. Sometimes if it's the outside rein, you can have the rein a little bit on the neck. You don't want to cross over the neck, but just kind of have that rein there on the outside. Yeah, that's what I think of about closing the rein. And my last topic of tonight, there was a great post in Amelia's Dressage Club, which I always like to peek around in the club and see what's happening. And someone posted that, you know, what do you do to stay motivated when you ride alone? It sounds like she rides alone. She doesn't really have an instructor. There were so many great suggestions, like listening to music, setting out cones, getting ready for a horse show, lots of different suggestions. There were several about a podcast. So funnily enough, I actually recorded myself riding today and I did a little like ride along podcast, which I think we'll release with the sitting trot challenge coming out in May, because it was like geared towards sitting trot. But I don't know. Let me know in the comments if you like ride along podcasts or if you've ever tried ride along podcasts. And I was definitely thinking like, what do I do to stay motivated? And I came up with the fact that I think with horses, consistency is so important. And that's really a big part of what motivates me to ride them consistently, because if you don't ride your horse consistently and you give them like 4 or 5 days off or a week off, it's always so hard to get them back into school mode. You know, it's like they've gone on summer vacation and they're crazy and they don't want to pay attention and they're dangerous and they're, you know, trying to buck you off. So I think a big motivating factor for me definitely is just knowing that the more consistent I am with my horses, the the better it's going to be for me, for my confidence, and also for my horse's confidence. And then, yeah, exercises, podcasts, working on different exercises. Video is also very motivating. If you get a Pivo and you can take a little video of yourself, that's definitely very motivating to work on your position. So anyways, great conversation tonight. Please watch the YouTube video about ARRR, about the AIDS. There are some great visuals in there. And yeah, I'm just excited. We have a lot of exciting things coming up in strides. If you're in strides, we have a guest speaker. Stefan's going to talk next month. We have a few other guest speakers. We have ride a test going on in strides. So that's all exciting if you are in strides. If you're not in strides, stay tuned for the sitting trot challenge, which is going to be coming up in May. And spring is here. So it's going to be a great spring and summer for riding. And I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you and helping you achieve your riding goals. So good night, everyone. Have a good evening. So that's it for this week. Thank you so much for all of your awesome questions. And I hope you learned something new from listening. If you're new to the podcast and you'd like a question answered on a future one, get in touch on Facebook through Amelia's Dressage Club, Instagram at Amelia Newcomb Dressage, or YouTube at Amelia Newcomb Dressage, and mark the question for the live sessions. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you like it, please share it, review it, and tune in again next week. Thanks so much and happy riding.